Chapter 8, 181. A rising Monday sun brought sight of the oasis at Adrazonte. Two pillars of marble rose over the horizon, each topped by a golden beacon fire illuminated by the power of the sun itself. Another wonder of the age before, that time and the terrible crusades of the past had rendered indecipherable to the wit of even the most learned Colchisian. Like most such watering holes across the vast expanses, Adrazonte was seasonal, sometimes in full flood and crowded with dozens of caravans, but at low ebb when the procession of Corpheron arrived in the late wake rise. The preacher dispatched the wagons with Axata, crewed by converts and slaves with an apportion of their meagre coinage and the water butts to fill, and the instruction that they needed enough food for at least another 7 or 8 days. Corpheron wanted as little contact with others as possible. Using his brass-banded ocular, he scanned the oasis, counting 3 separate missions and caravans at the water's edge. Guard towers, far smaller than the beacon lights, stood in a perimeter several 100 meters further out, delineating the extent of the waterhole when it was fully risen. The trees and bushes that thrived on the spring had started to wilt, even this hardy vegetation giving in to the relentless dryness and the unforgiving sun. Taking the ocular from his eyes, Corpheron spied Lorgar standing at the rail, straining to see what was occurring. He was certain there would be magnoculars and telescopes trained back on their position, and the boy was stood in plain view. If his effect on first sighting at the nomad camp was anything to judge by, there was no telling what his presence might stir amongst the more heavily armed trading station and merchant crews.
"Get back below!"
snapped the priest as he strode forwards along the deck.
"I said to keep out of sight, you wretched child!"
He seized Lorgar by the collar of his acolyte robe and moved to haul him from the rail. The boy resisted, not moving a centimetre, but the robe pulled away from him. Corpheron stared at the unmarked expanse of Lorgar's broad shoulders, where only the passing of high night before he had been viciously whipped.
"Get below!"
he growled, suppressing any further reaction as he propelled the boy towards the hatch to the slave quarters, or attempted to. Lorgar staggered a step and stopped, looking back with a pained expression.
"I want to see the caravans and the guards,"
the child protested, forgetting Corpheron's title in his petulance. Such disobedience had to be suppressed immediately. Corpheron struck the boy across the face, though he felt as if he'd slapped rock.
"Get below, child!"
he snarled through gritted teeth, eyes boring venomously into Lorgar.
"I will deal with this insubordination later."
Though it was obvious that the blow had caused no real injury, the shock of it and the flare of Corpheron's fury was enough to put the boy to flight, sending him running for the dim spaces below deck. 182. Corpheron retired to his chamber and brooded, conscious that it seemed Axata had purposefully spared the boy his just punishment. Yet if he moved too far against the leader of the converts, the preacher knew he might find himself abandoned instead. It was time, he considered, that he started elevating another of the converts, fanning the ambitions of one with the lure of replacing Axata, if need be. He spent the rest of the wake rise considering the candidates, until the horns of the address system blared out in greeting to the returning expedition. He stayed below, listening to the rumble of the trucks and the boots on the deck, until all returned to orderliness when the loading of the stores was complete. He waited longer, comforting himself with verses from the Aspirations of Cor Adras, reminded of the tribulations of the first high priest of the covenant, that the path to righteousness, the ascent to the peak of the faithful, was not an easy journey. Axata's signature knock set his heart thumping at the possibility of the coming confrontation. Corpheron knew that he could not cause open affront to the convert, potentially embarrass him in front of the others, lest he backed Axata into a corner, from which the only escape was a fight. No, it would be better to invoke a far higher authority, the powers themselves. He bade Axata enter and assumed a sombre, regretful expression.
"I have the stores listing."
Axata's report trailed away as he saw Corpheron's sad face. Concern twisted his features as he stepped forwards with a hand stretched out in sympathy.
What is the matter, Master?
I am disappointed, Exarta. Bitterly disappointed. I thought you were brother to me. A brother in the eyes of the powers.
The convert betrayed a mix of emotions at this declaration. Delight at the thought of being so highly regarded, swiftly replaced by alarm that such status seemed to be on the verge of withdrawal. Corferon continued before Exarta had a chance to say anything in response.
I have placed my trust in you, Exarta. Great trust. You are my eyes where I cannot see, my ears where I cannot listen, my tongue where I cannot speak.
These last statements were a direct quote from the famous speech of Tezen in the Book of Changes, when the prophet first conjured the duplicitous elemental Kakao. Exarta trembled, knowing well the verses being thrown at him, and their lesson to be wary of treachery from all others. Corferon added the final phrase, laden with scorn.
My hand where I cannot reach, Exarta.
All is in order, I swear, Master, replied the convert,
proffering the notes of lading as though they were the original parables of the prophets.
I would never do...
Do you place your judgment over mine?
Snapped Corferon, turning to generalities to harden his argument before he raised specific accusation.
No, Master.
Do you think that mortals should second-guess the justice of the powers?
Of course not, Master. Why?
183. The preacher fixed Exarta with a piercing glare, daring him to confess his sins. He let the silence continue, marshalling his ire, directing it until he could no longer contain his righteousness.
The boy!
Corferon dropped his voice to a harsh whisper, though he felt like screaming from the masthead. There would be those listening or trying to, and he would not have them eavesdrop on this exchange.
I ordered him lashed last night, yet there is not a mark upon his body. It is not your place to spare Lorgar his due punishment.
Nor did I swear,
said Exarta, face flushing. Not with anger, but shame. His meaty fists closed around the bills, crumpling the transparencies.
I put the whip upon him as hard as any of the others.
Corferon thought himself a good judge of people, at least in respect to reading their truths and falsehoods. Doing so had provided him with many a lever to extract support or patronage in the time since his exile had begun. In Exarta, he had a true convert, one who believed in the truth to his heart. He feared the wrath of the powers and accepted Corferon's position as the bearer of the word. He could no more lie before his master than he could cut out his own heart and keep living.
Then we have a different problem, Exarta.
Corferon answered swiftly, changing tack and tone.
Come with me.
Exarta said nothing as he followed Corferon along the companionway and up the steps to the main deck. The whole caravan was already moving away from Adrazonti, the guardhouses hidden behind the surrounding dunes. The priest called for Lorgar to come up from the hold. The boy responded quickly, casting a nervous glance between the priest and the convert, sensing something was amiss.
Strip, child.
Corferon told him. Lorgar complied after a moment, the pause one of confusion rather than defiance. He pulled off his grey robes to reveal sun-reddened skin over knotted and thick muscle. Clad only in his loincloth, he cast the acolyte robe to the deck and stood trembling slightly before Corferon's sneering scrutiny.
Turn around,
the preacher said, twirling a finger to emphasize his command. He turned his head to Exarta as Lorgar spun on his heel, revealing not even a bruise upon his hard flesh.
See?
Exarta's surprise was the last confirmation Corferon needed, that the convert was not complicit in some scheme to spare the boy his lashes. With that being the case, there was no further worry of conspiracy, and the preacher turned his thought to a fresh concern.
It seems your whip is not deterrent enough,
Corferon said aloud for all to hear.
Gather your five strongest. Have them bring their mauls.
184. Nairo watched with growing horror as Exarta stalked about the deck, calling names and giving orders until he and five others waited with thick cudgels in hand. Lorgar stared at them impassively, moving his gaze from one to the next. No one was able to meet his stare for more than a heartbeat before turning their eyes away. Axarta was smart enough to not even match gaze with the child, his own fixed upon his master's intense stare.
"You know what needs to be done,"
the priest said as he jabbed a finger at Lorgar.
"The body must be scourged, for the soul to know purity also."
"Avoid the head,"
Axarta muttered to his companions, as they surrounded Lorgar with weapons raised, looking to Corpharon for... For what, Nyro wondered. For him to change his mind?
"Do it, or you will feel the touch of chastisement also,"
Corpharon said calmly, though Nyro thought he caught for a moment a twitch of consternation at this smallest sign of dissent. Lorgar raised his fists to his face, elbows touching, exposing his solid flanks and shoulders, silently accepting the punishment to come. Axarta landed the first blow on the thigh, and once this was done, it was as though a hex was broken, and the others joined in, laying their mauls upon Lorgar two-handed. They beat him about the shoulders and ribs, until a blow to the back of the knee sent him sprawling to the deck, where they continued on his back and legs, working methodically along spine and limbs. Corpharon gave no order to stop, but the men started to tire, their blows lacking force. It was Axarta that made the decision, stepping back, dropping his club to the deck from aching fingers. The others retreated, suddenly grateful for the cessation of violence. The withdrawal revealed Lorgar knelt with arms tucked beneath him, forehead on the deck. Every part of exposed flesh was blackened from bruises, here and there a trickle of blood where the skin had broken. Corpharon stepped closer, kneeling beside him to listen. Nyro also saw the youth's lips moving and strained to hear the quiet words.
"And in the sixth summer of the fasting years, Senator Tal was thrown into the serpent's cage, and his accusers amongst the unbelievers jeered, and they cursed his name."
It was from the revelations of the prophets, the cornerstone of the covenant's faith. Nyro saw Corpharon watch Lorgar's thick tears drip to the deck before he stood up. He gave a nod to Nyro, who quickly passed the word to others. He led a cluster of slaves to the child and helped him up. With their assistance, Lorgar hobbled across to the open hatchway, head bowed, back bent. He stopped at the top of the steps and turned his head to Corpharon, one eye blackened where a blow had gone astray. He nodded, as though grateful for the beating. It sickened Nyro to think that Lorgar believed he deserved such a terrible punishment, though he drew hope from what he had seen of the youth's recuperative abilities. Like the whip, the cudgels would leave no lasting injury upon him, and for that Nyro was thankful to the powers, even as he was reminded of the sting across his own back from Axarta's attentions the cold fall before. Dignity emanated from the boy, and Corpharon turned his back on the acolyte, a little too quickly to be purely dismissive, Nyro thought. The preacher picked up the youth's robe and threw it to Nyro without looking at Lorgar.
"Such shall be Lorgar's punishment from now on," he announced. "It is only in the power's purview to forgive our trespasses, not mine. The sins of the soul will be purged in the flesh."